Is there any evidence that female sex offenders, as male sex offenders now do, in order to avoid detection, go abroad?
I'm not aware of any female offenders that have made the conscious decision to travel abroad, either to commit sexual offences against children or to avoid registration. I am aware of predatory females that will, in terms of their behaviour, watch other people's children, will exhibit those risky signs about potentially abducting a child. But they are very, very, very rare sort of cases. Predominantly, the female offenders that we're becoming aware of offend against children they know, offend against acquaintances' children, they offend in a controlled environment. They tend to stay close to home. The most commonly asked question that I'm asked, because I'm involved in behavioural analysis, is does the internet or has the internet created more people with a sexual interest in children? And I will always say the same answer, absolutely not. These people always had a sexual interest in children. But what the internet does is it validates and it fuels those existing beliefs and it allows them to network with like-minded people.
One of the things that certainly I've seen an increase in over the last 10 years has been the number of women coming to attention where there are links with the internet.
To understand more about who these abusive women are and why they offend, I went to the Lucy Faithful Foundation, a child protection charity. There I met Sherry Ashfield, who is one of the very few people in this country who works with convicted women.
Quite a number of cases we work with, the women have had high levels of engagement in chat rooms, and very often chat rooms have been the starting point, and then that translates through sometimes to actual hands-on abuse of children as well.
So would you be claiming it's normalising abhorrent behaviour?
I don't know about normalising. I think there is something about when we're sitting at home in our own living room or in our own office or in our own kitchen with our computer, a sense of dissociation from the outside world. And certainly we know that, for example, some women have talked to us about going onto the net looking for images of women abusing children, because that then helps them to feel better about what they're doing themselves.
When Sherry interviews the abusers, she has to assess the risk of them reoffending and investigate the way they rationalise their behaviour. Her interviews are recorded, and she's agreed to give us extracts from them, in which all the names and some other identifying details have been changed. We haven't had the chance to question these women ourselves, but the examples are real and distressing. The words are read by an actor.
The first time I stumbled across images of children, I wasn't really looking for them. My online contacts would often send me peer files of images to look at which they thought I would like. One day, one of these included images of adults being sexual with children. At first, I was shocked, but soon I was spending most of my time searching for images of children. The images I preferred were those where the children were smiling. This confirmed to me that they were enjoying what was happening and were willing to do it. My favourites were short videos where the children were actually doing things to the adults, as well as other children.
Hilary Eldridge joined Sherry and me. Hilary is the head of the Lucy Faithful Foundation.
Over the last few years, we've learned a lot about how developmental factors impact on the women's attitudes, beliefs and behaviours, and how that links to their offending. So what the more recent research has done is really to explore the histories of the women.
Well, can you tell me anything about these women? I mean, they're all individual and every case, of course, is different.
You're absolutely right. They all are very individualised, and I think that's one of the things for us to remember. But we do see similarities coming through. The women cover a wide range of backgrounds, a wide range of ages, a wide range of personal histories. But what they do have in common is they have very complex life histories. And they tend to be women with complex issues of abuse. They tend to be women with issues about low self-esteem. They tend to be women who socially are incredibly isolated. They tend to be women who have extremely poor emotional regulation and find dealing with emotions extremely difficult. And they tend to be women who, in some instances, have histories of periods of depression too.
Are there any triggers for abusive behaviour that you come across?
For women who are bringing up their own child, own baby, perhaps haven't had a good experience of parenting, a trigger can be getting in touch with feelings of having the care of and the very close contact and having to deal with the genitalia of that little person. And for some of the women, they feel like the child is still part of themselves in a way. And she's often afraid to say, look, help.
Have you come any clearer to understanding the motivations of these women?
Some women will offend to keep a partner. Some women will abuse to meet their own sexual needs. Some women will abuse for revenge purposes. Maybe the male partner is abusing the daughter in the family and they resent the attention that the daughter is getting. Some women will abuse for money. We've had a number of women who have had debts, and some have met someone, usually through the internet, who have suggested that if they would take part in making of films or making of photographs of abusive children, they would pay them significant sums of money. Some women will abuse because, from their own histories, they feel that what they're doing isn't abuse. It's a form of loving, or it's a form of getting a close connection with someone else. But I think what they all have in common is that, on some level, they have started to believe that behaving in this way will meet some of the needs that they haven't previously been able to meet in other aspects of their lives.